As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. It is not every day you see a brand that represents the pride and attitude of the blue-collar community. You may know them for their tagline, "Dirty hands, clean money." Troll Company is for those who keep the gears turning with sweat, grit, and a whole lot of hustle. They celebrate hard-working trades with their high-quality, badass t-shirts, hoodies, and more. These guys are not just slapping logos on tees and calling it a day. These guys are the real deal. Built by Blue Collar for Blue Collar. So if you're looking for a brand that reps your grind, check out TrollCoClothing.com. That's TrollCoClothing.com. Head to TrollCoClothing.com and use promo code ZABECAST20 for 20% off your first order. Support blue-collar work. Dirty hands, clean money. Fellas, I'm holding in my hands right now one of the most gorgeous bottles of whiskey I've ever seen. 5-9 Whiskey from the crew over at Troll Co. They decided to whip up a bourbon that is all about grit and sweat. Meet 5-9. Two oil field guys figured, hey, why not turn our daily grind into something that you can sip on? I mean, who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey, right? This stuff is made from 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They went all in. And what about the name? Well, 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. till 9 p.m. Forget that 9-to-5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat and the toil. They work hard, and now they're pouring that same energy into their whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Head over to 59whiskey.com. That's F-I-V-E, 9 spelled out, whiskey.com. And use the promo code ZABECAST20 for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up, 59 Whiskey from Troll Co. It is mwah, fantastic.
Super Bowl dreams that glowed in the summer sunshine flicker and fade in the autumn shadows. And hopes that were high in the heat of September can wilt and die in the chill of November. November can be cold and gray. November can be surly, with bitter rain upon the world and winter coming early. Do you fear the force of the wind, the slash of the rain? Go face them and fight them. Be savage again. The palms of your hands will thicken. The skin of your cheek will tan. You'll grow ragged and weary and wet. But you must do the best you can.
The great John Facenda, and oh yeah, I'm going into the teeth of it today.
Feeling down and dirty, feeling kind of mean.
Thank you to my unofficial show researcher and podcast researcher and link flinger, Tim McDarby, longtime fan, lives down in Texas. Been through a lot health-wise, but Timmy, thank you, buddy. He always sends me, hey, this is right up your alley. He sent me this link to the great NFL Films John Facenda narration of September and what it means. And now that we are into September, it's week 9 in the NFL. Indeed, many teams and their dreams have wilted and died.
No disguise for that double vision.
And as far as the weather goes, today at Lambeau Field, it's gonna suck. But guess what? I'll be there. That's why I'm recording this on Sunday morning. And there are no results from Sunday's NFL, but I got plenty to talk about. An Ollie Williams special at Lambeau.
And now here's Ollie Williams with the Blackie weather forecast. Ollie?
It's gonna rain!
Thanks, Ollie. Let's go live to Ollie Williams with the Blackie weather report. Ollie?
It's raining sideways!
Sounds rough, Ollie. Do you have an umbrella?
Had one!
Where is it?
Inside out, 2 miles away!
Is there anything we can do for you?
Bring me some soup!
What kind?
Chunky!
Yes, indeed. I have bought another golf rain suit because I forgot to travel one of the three of them that I own to Wisconsin this week for the game. And so just throw it on the pile. We'll see how it works out. My good friend and Sunburn Bowl 1 MVP Jason Autumn has done something very stupid. He audibled back into going to this game, even though he was off the hook because his beautiful new puppy bulldog Vader had a corneal scratch that was going to keep him at home tending to the dog. And then he's like, oh, you need somebody to go with today? You need a wingman? Maybe I'll resell my tickets to the game for whatever I can get on the resale market, and then I'll go with you and your free ticket. He said that on Friday. Now today has come, and it's going to be an absolute monsoon at Lambeau Field. Okay, I know you're saying, well, you're going to leave early, so who cares? Well, we'll see about that. We'll see about that. Jordan Love expected to play today against the big, bad trick play Lions, who look to embarrass opponents. So says safety Xavier McKinney of the Packers. This is the eternal dilemma about the NFL, is that the television product, because remember, it's a TV show about quarterbacks, is so good and so comfortable and so glorious and so cheap and so not time-consuming. It's like, why would you ever leave the house? And for many people, the answer is, of course, I don't. But going has its own charm. And, you know, the Packers have enjoyed a great string of weather this fall up until now. So we're flying right into this one. Of course, I have a promotion going on in which I visit one lucky tailgate winner that gets all the swag from our station. And it's nice to meet up with people. And so when you're committed to doing it, you're committed to doing it. And that's what I'll be doing. Don't forget, though, as the Lions play their first outdoor game today on Sunday all year, and it's only they're only going to play three all year. They'll play outdoors in Chicago on week 17 and week 18 at San Francisco. That's it. Don't forget this. I always knew this. I remembered this from when Goff was drafted. And I know it's Jeff Fisher who has been widely debunked as a dipshit. But this is what Fisher said when he worked out Goff before picking him 1/1. Quote, it was raining at Cal's pro day, and I was personally drawing balls off just so he could throw them. And watching Goff throw the wet ball in the rain, you could shut your eyes. You could hear it whistle through the air. So in my opinion, he was the right decision, and I still think he's got a lot left. That was after the trade to Detroit. Jeff Fisher said that after he'd been fired, of course, from the Rams. So it's turning out pretty well for Fisher. We'll see how Goff does in the rain as well as good old Jordan Love and his hamstring. That said, when it comes to outdoor versus indoor, my good friend Scott Lynn sent me a picture from the Penn State tailgate on Saturday against Ohio State. More on that game in just a second. And he said, certainly not the desired result for #WeAre. He's got a son who goes to Penn State. But good to see at Zabe post incognito from the game. #TailgateResponsibly. It's a picture of a tailgate at Penn State. You got your 8x8 flimsy Nittany Lions officially logoed outdoor tent. It has a flimsy looking Boeing in the middle plastic banquet table. And on that banquet table are not one, but two, probably 55-inch TVs, two giant stereo speakers, an absolute tangle of wires and what looks like Cat 6 coming from a localized router to be able to get whatever games they want onto the two TVs. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, all that effort to bring the indoors to the outdoors. It's almost as dumb as during the pandemic when New York City decided, well, we're not allowed to have restaurants be open indoors. So let's build these plywood shanties on the sidewalk and we'll have limited service outdoors, quote unquote. And those of us with a brain said, you know that you're just creating a shittier indoors outdoor. This is not going to stop the pandemic. This will save zero lives. What are you doing? But more on New York and their idiocy later in the podcast. So going to the game today, wish me luck. We'll see how it goes. And rain suit in hand, tags still in the bag from PGA Superstore. Now, if I return that, you know, rain suit, because I own a couple in Virginia, is that wrong? Is that ethically wrong? If I know that, I could say, look, I tried it, it leaked, or I tried it, I didn't like it. It was not cheap, $175 for the jacket, $110 for the pants, I do believe. Either way, let's get to the Penn State game. They fall short once again to Ohio State. 20-13, your final, with Penn State having the ball at the 5-yard line twice and getting exactly 0 points out of it. The final straw was midway through the fourth quarter when they got first and goal from the 3, ran the ball twice for 2 yards. I forget what else happened. Then they threw, and that was it. They couldn't get in the end zone from the 3. I think the more brutal exchanges at the end of the first half, not because the Ohio State DB made a great play to pick the ball off and turn what could have been 7 into 0, what should have been an easy 3 at worst into a 0, was the way that Franklin and his staff botched the timeout situation leading up to it. They let 30 seconds run off the clock as they were trying to move into scoring position, and then they finally did, and now all of a sudden, because they don't have those 30 seconds back, they only have one play, not 3 throws or 3 runs at the end zone. It's dumbest thing ever, and the announcers were all over it. Not as bad, oh, by the way, as Dabo Swinney down big in the final minutes of their game against Louisville, in which he kicked an extra point to go down 12, 33-21, your final score, when a two-pointer would have put him down 11, which is a conceivable Hail Mary comeback of 8, you know, 6 plus 2 plus 3. Hello, Jimbo. Or not Jimbo. Hello, Dabo. And the announcers are like, what are they doing here? Do they not have a laminated card? Look, these coaches are paid a lot of money in college, and they have to do a lot of stuff. And the portal and the NIL issue now is becoming more and more challenging. The football coaches are leaning into it, those that have the resources. The basketball coaches who know they're going to be fucked, like Tony Bennett at Virginia, they're like, I'm out. See ya. But James Franklin botched it at the end of the first half. His offense couldn't punch it in at the end of the game. And they never got the ball back after that failed punch-in at the end. It reminded me a lot of the Michigan game last year. So Penn State is now 1-10 under Franklin against Ohio State. They've lost 8 straight. It's brutal. And here was the exchange with a fan who was no more than 10 feet away from Franklin as he left the field and went to go ring the bell and suck on another brutal home loss to a big-time opponent in their division.
What's your name? No, you're going to be man enough to call. What's your name?
So, you can't really hear it very well, but you could see it. This fan, who is not wearing Penn State gear, which is weird. He's wearing a green tracksuit. He looks like a younger, like a 20-year-old version of Uncle Junior. He's got this touring cap on. There's not a single Penn State logo on him. And he's like,
You threw the ball at the 3-yard line 2 times, you got no points out of it.
And that's when Franklin said, what's your name? And after he said, you know, after he got his shot off on the shiny-headed, milk-dudded-headed James Franklin, he kind of leaned into the railing, this kid, like, yeah, what you got to do now? Like, settling in. Like, I just burned you, man. And all Franklin had to do was say, what's your name? You're going to be so tough and you want to talk? What's your name? And the kid wilted. The kid wilted. He just waved his hand, turned around, and walked away as Franklin stood there. And then he rang the bell. I mean, that's a pretty good response right there. Now, I'm not saying I'm pro James Franklin. I'm just saying it's funny how the kid wilted. After the game, Franklin said, look, it's gone too far. It's gone too far, and there's too many people way too emboldened to talk shit when they're not the ones in the arena. They're not the man in the arena, as the famous poem goes. Franklin's right, but he's just the wrong fucking guy to deliver this message. Yeah, the punk was asked, what's your name? He didn't have a comeback. He should have realized he might ask my name, so let's make up a funny name. You know, and if you can't make up a funny name, then just go with D's Nuts. What's my name? D's Nuts is my name. That said, what are you going to do if you're Penn State with Franklin? He's delivered a power program product in the wake of the Joe Pa scandal. They are a relevant power school that is really good, but not quite good enough to beat the other schools that are a little bit better, namely Penn State, Michigan, et al. They may still probably, looks like, make the playoff, although the playoff's going to be wild because so many teams lost on Saturday, giving them one win or two or one loss or two losses. You know, it's going to be a fun November into December. But that said, I just looking from the outside, and I'm sure I'll get Penn State alums screaming at me going, you're an idiot, he's terrible, we got to do better. Who are we going to hire? There's nobody better out there. And if you think there's a guy who's better out there, well, good luck hoping that he will be, quote, better. You just don't know. Lincoln Riley lost again this weekend against Washington, 26-21. That drops USC under 500. There is no way to spin it, especially given that Caleb Williams was the number one pick in the draft, that the Lincoln Riley tenure so far at USC has been a complete disaster. Not what they expected, not what they're paying for. And now it's going to start to get a little bit wobbly if this does not turn around for him. Who you going to get? And how do you know they're going to be better? It's a tough deal. And again, I don't bleed Penn State. Even though my nephew went there, even though Scott Lynn's son goes there, even though my wife got a postgraduate degree from the Penn State University. Seems like Franklin's delivering a power program that's really, really good, just not good enough. You want to stick with that and hope it turns around? It might be the easiest thing to do. Or you could blow it up and start over and get some other hot assistant. Go steal Kurt Cignetti from Indiana after they stole him from JMU. Google me, I win. What a great line from Cignetti. They're 9-0, by the way. Indiana beat Michigan State 47-10. One of the teams that's looking good after this weekend. You had Georgia beating Florida. Hold that thought for a second. Army goes to 8-0. They stuff Air Force 20-3. Miami just routes Duke 53-31. They're 9-0. Ole Miss put a 60-burger on Arkansas 63-31. They're 7-2. And Boise State beat San Diego State 56-24. Ashton Gentry, who should win the Heisman hands down, 149 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's actually a slightly minus day for Ashton Gentry. He's got 8 straight 100-yard rushing games. That's a school record, or tying a school record set by Jay Ajayi. Oh, name from the past, baby. But otherwise, there was a lot of carnage that went on, other than Oregon and Georgia winning. And, of course, Ohio State. Fourth-ranked Ohio State winner. Number one, Oregon. Number two, Georgia. Winner, winner. Ohio State goes down. Texas A&M loses to fall to 7-2. They lost to South Carolina 44-20. Clemson lost to Louisville. As I mentioned there, the math was not mathing for Dabo. 33-21. They're 6-2 now. Iowa State beat Texas Tech. Iowa State lost to Texas Tech. They're now 7-1. 23-22, your final there. And then K-State got upset by Houston, 24-19. They're now 7-2. Oh, and one more. SMU ran their record to 8-1 with a 48-point output against Pitt, winning 48-25. Pitt was ranked number 18. SMU is going to get it cooking now that they're finalizing this nil settlement and they're kind of setting what is essentially a, not salary cap, but a budget for each school to spend on NIL, collective NIL. If you haven't seen the 30 for 30 on SMU back in the Pony Express days when they were given Eric Dickerson Trans Ams and the coach saying, look, I got a payroll to meet here, when that kind of stuff was completely and blatantly illegal and they gave him the death penalty, definitely watch the 30 for 30 on the Pony Express. SMU will be back, even though one guy I talked to yesterday was like, SMU, really? And I'm like, oh, yeah, they got big, stupid Dallas money. And they want to be good again. And now they've got the letterhead to recruit on. It doesn't hurt to have that ACC letterhead. It gives them a little bit of extra credibility. And so look out. SMU's coming. Just like Dion in Colorado, coming. The results from Saturday definitely helped them out when it comes to possibly winning the conference and making the playoff. Wouldn't that be a pack it up your ass response to all the critics of Dion early in the year when it looked like the season would be a disaster? You were one of those critics. I know.
As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
So, Florida, Georgia, world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Can't say that anymore. Okay. The border war. Florida hung in there. They hung in there late. It was a 7-point game late. Georgia then finally broke it open with the late touchdown to make it a 14-point spread. I think that was right on the number, 14, 14 and a half, something like that. Fans did what fans do. This game will be gone from this historic venue for 2 years as they remodel Everbank Field and Stadium. Which is too bad. They played this series every year since 1933. And while there was this wonderful, what I call trinkly piano piece by Jen Latta of ESPN about how a young girl who was a big-time Georgia fan died in a car crash, donated her organs, including lungs, to another older man who was a diehard Georgia fan who was pretty much going to die if he didn't get a lung transplant, and how that had breathed new life, literally, from one Georgia fan to another, and the families got together, and they bonded in the wonderful experience of rooting for them dogs. How about them dogs? The nice tailgates, and I mean, it was beautifully shot, beautifully done, narrated, edited, the whole thing. Then the game happened, and then you see the underbelly, the dirty underside of this game, and Georgia versus Florida, the fights in the stands, and the cops sent in to break them up. Oh my fucking God, what is going on? I have seen now several videos of cops full-on brawling, punching soon-to-be detainees for whatever it was they were doing in the stands. And some of them were not going down as easy as you would like. I don't know what police protocol is. I didn't think that you were supposed to, as a cop, punch people like you're kung fu fighting. But apparently that maybe is okay. I'm just going to play the audio from this. There is probably a bad word or two in here. Luckily, we're a podcast. We can live with one or two bad words coming out. But this was a cop who was way up into the upper deck under one of the overhangs where the Cretans live.
I'm not going to jail. You stop me.
There's the taser. There's the taser. He's like, I'm not going to jail. Big, burly, southern redneck, giant beard, girlfriend standing off to the side like, baby, please, baby, come on. I ain't going to jail. Cop is right there saying, oh, no, you're going. He starts tasing him. He starts ripping the taser prongs out of his shirt. He ain't going down, doesn't seem to be affected. Then he finally falls over the row of temporary seats. This is the temporary section of the stadium that we saw last week when we were down there. Now the cops just starts throwing a Sugar Ray Leonard quality volley of punches.
That's assault. That's assault.
That's assault.
That's assault.
Guy is still not going down. He has now somehow recovered from falling over the row of chairs in front of him after being tased, and he's going straight up mano a mano. Shirt being ripped off. Punch to the face. Second cop coming in. Man still not going down.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
You can't do that. That's assault. That's assault. That's a lawsuit, man.
Oh, yeah, that's a lawsuit. It's assault. Oh, my God. That was only one of them. Here's another one. And it might be the same cop. It is a very fit, very buff black guy who seems to be made for this kind of work. Wailing! Wailing on an older white dude who must have been about my age, 50 or so. Throwing him to the ground. Sprawled over the chairs. Somebody tagged it with the SEC. It just means more. Look, I don't know what this older guy did to invoke the wrath of the cops. I know you probably say that's too much. It's excessive force. Come on, seriously. Just go to the stands of a football game, especially an SEC football game that's a rivalry game, and just listen to the shit-talking and mayhem that goes on sometimes with guys that you look at saying, you're too old to be doing this. What is your deal? So I'm kind of going to side with the cop on this one. And also, thank God we have police who are willing to go up there into the lion's den of rowdy fan behavior and actually arrest some of these assholes. And are willing, if not relishing, the chance to throw some haymakers. Because once we no longer have anybody willing to sign up to do that, well, then good luck taking your kids and wife to a football game you want to see, because you never know what kind of psychotic assholes you're going to be sitting next to. That said, it was not the only ugly incident in college football over the weekend. I mentioned back to Penn State. Jason Kelce, who did a cameo on the College Game Day set for ESPN. Of course, he's an ESPN employee now for Monday Night Football. But he does not regularly do necessarily College Game Day. He'll do some swing-ons. I don't think he's permanently on their cast. Whatever. He is going to the set of the game, or he's walking somewhere between doing his appearance and going to the game itself at Penn State. And he is carrying a 12-pack of Garage beer, don't know the brand, with a can of Garage beer between his thumb and his forefinger. And he is walking briskly through the crowd, seemingly alone, no security, no nothing, with his typical unibrow and his very laser-like gaze, and he is walking quick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He is walking quick, and some douchebag Z generation, Gen Z fake tough guy says, how does it feel being a bleep since your brother-in-law is going to, I forget the exact phrase he said, but basically it was a jab at Kelce for his brother dating Taylor Swift.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So he grabs the guy, he knocks the guy's cell phone to the ground, he picks it up, and then he gronk spikes it, and then says, who's the get now? ESPN has not yet to weigh in on this comment. Certainly, Kelce was nominally the aggrieved party because some fan wanted to talk shit to him and get it on video and try to make it go viral. And there should be consequences. I'm a big believer that we need to bring back FAFO society. Fuck around and find out. We need more old world Wild West where you would dare not look at a guy cross-eyed in a saloon because you might be receiving some lead between the eyes yourself at a moment's notice. Everybody needs to mind their own fucking business. So cell phones have made it the worst, and kids believing that there's no consequences. I'll turn around, I'll become the victim. Look what big bad Kelce did to me. I'm going to sue him for assault. I'm going to sue him for a new phone and emotional damages. Who knows what? Because he just had to get off some stupid jibe about Taylor Swift. But I have questions here, which is, one, why doesn't Jason Kelce have some security whatsoever? Two, is he not at least understanding and used to the fact that people are going to say dumb shit? Three, is ESPN going to do anything because he uttered a very bad word to the PC police, the F word that ends in two T's, clearly in response to this guy? I don't know. It's just getting more and more shitty out there all the time, which brings me to our final dispute this morning. And then I am going to get geared up to go stand in the rain for 3 hours plus.
I give it two at most.
Okay, we might ail. Finally, Joel Embiid pushed a reporter on Saturday in Philly who wrote a column about him not playing. Marcus Hayes is the reporter or the columnist's name, and he has written for the Philly Inquirer for quite some time. And Embiid is just not ready to play. I mean, the season started. Sixers are struggling out of the gate. He's being paid $63 million a year. He supposedly had all summer, minus, of course, the Olympics, to get healthy and ready, and he's not ready. So Hayes wrote a story that basically invoked how that Embiid talks about his son and his dead brother as motivation with his career to bring greatness and light to the family and all that other stuff. That did not sit well. Did not sit well whatsoever with Embiid, who then pushed him. According to reporters, he said to Marcus Hayes, quote, "The next time you bring up my dead brother and my son again, you're going to see what I'm going to do to you, and I'm going to have to live with the consequences." Embiid continued with several instances of profanity in the next few sentences. Hayes offered an apology, which Embiid did not want. "That's not the fucking first time," said Embiid. Embiid later said that he doesn't care what reporters say, but then Hayes responded with, "But you do." Yeah. All right, a lot to unpack here. Embiid is emblematic of the current rot that is the NBA. Way overpaid players. The optional notion of, should I play, will I play, do I need to play, load management this, load... I mean, it's gone way too far. The public is absolutely soured by it. So there's that angle. Secondly, I get where the guy was going with, you know, trying to say, hey, look, if you want your work to reflect what... you know, you feel is positive values for your son and your dead brother, then guess what? You need to actually play. That was the crux of it. So Embiid has talked about this, and it was Hayes who took it and ran with it and then said, well, you got to show up first. And that was deemed to be out of bounds. And I guess maybe it is. But if he had wrote about Embiid waxing poetic about his son and his dead brother, and then said, and Joel Embiid, as he surges toward the MVP record, is certainly making that wish to elevate the family name come reality, nobody would have a problem with it. At that point, he would have his son and his dead brother's name in his mouth, quote unquote, as a columnist, but in a positive way. I guess it's not fair game to then go, hey, dude, you don't play. I thought you were all about your family. You're not playing. Probably safe to say you should just avoid any reference that could be sensitive like this. That said, apparently, this guy Hayes has been a boil on the ass of Philly media for a long time. Has been a universally hated guy for a long time. So, I don't know what to think exactly. It's kind of two wrongs here. The columnist touched an electrified third rail that you kind of knew was going to get him in trouble. And apparently he's a dick. Then again, Embiid ain't playing. $63 million. And the NBA All-Star Game is now being looked at. Rachel Nichols tweeted on Saturday, Adam Silver says the NBA is actively looking at, quote, other formats for this year's All-Star Game, saying the NBA has already formed a committee to try something new. We want something that will excite the fans and excite the players. Because according to sources, even the players were disappointed in the lack of effort at last year's All-Star Game. Other formats, huh? My simple response was, how about try? We've already ruined the Pro Bowl, because they didn't want to try in that one. And now it's just a series of stupid-ass flag football, challenge this, throw a ball through a hoop nonsense. And the NBA All-Star Game is next. The NHL All-Star Game will be after that. The baseball All-Star Game, we hope, will stay relevant. It's kind of hard to half-ass it in a baseball game when you're standing in a small chalk box against a guy throwing 100 miles an hour at 60 feet 6 inches. But I wouldn't put it past baseball from succumbing as well. It's just sad. Everything is getting shittier. The products, sports continues to be this massive, massive industry. And it draws millions and millions and billions of fans. And we gamble on it. We play fantasy. And I talk about it for a living. The interest is there. The money is there. But the product, the end of the day product that's in the box, with its taste and freshness. It's getting worse. It's getting worse in just about every area. And maybe on a future podcast, I will do a deep dive and I'll make a big list of, okay, what is worse now? Product only. Don't tell me how the ratings are on TV or how much money teams are worth in this league. No. Just the product. A taste test of every major sport and product. In fact, this could be a group project. If anyone wants to help out and make their list of saying, okay, which sports product is better or worse now than it was, say, 30 years ago? And I mentioned 30 because I think the sweet spot for sports in which it got big enough, popular enough, and widely available enough, thank you to cable TV and the dawn of satellite TV, was about 1994. I think that was about it. That was when it was at its sweet spot. It was big, it was vibrant, it was great, but it hadn't jumped the shark. It hadn't gotten really sour and distorted in so many ways. So 30 years would be a good starting point. What's better now? Product only. Send me your thoughts on that, and I'll make sure to get them into a future podcast. Hey, Andy Pollin, where was he today? Oh, that's right. I was going to call him on Sunday morning. We were going to be easy like Sunday morning with Andy Pollin, but you told me repeatedly you cannot, Zabe, deny him the chance to talk about his beloved Commanders. And so, therefore, when you tape your Monday pod early because you're going to Lambeau, you cannot have Andy on. Well, mission accomplished. I didn't call Andy. But I do hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Zabecast. You know you can subscribe to this podcast. It does help the efforts. I appreciate it very much. Keeps me going strong, which I've been doing now for a long time, it seems. But I'm still having fun. Just sign up by going to zabe.com/premium. $5 a month, even less than that if you buy a year at a time. Otherwise, go month to month, cancel. I know, we all have tons of subscriptions that we are now tied down by. 5 here, 7 there, 11 there. Holy shit, why do I have 2 of these? So I appreciate everyone who does subscribe. Go to zabe.com/premium for that. And of course, you get these podcasts weekly, ad-free, big bonus, and you'll get them early. So you'll be able to dig in and stay up to date on all of my ramblings. Isn't that great? Thanks for listening. Have a great NFL Sunday as you're warm and dry. I will report back tomorrow on just how deep into the rain-filled misery me and my buddy Jason Autumn go at Lambeau Field. And we will see you next time.
No. That's why I'm easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning. That's why I'm easy.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025.
Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC Diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.